On September 15, 1779, the newly appointed French minister to the United States, the Chevalier de la Luzerne, arrived on the banks of the Hudson River at Fishkill, New York. He and his entourage were on their way to the American fortress at West Point, where they were to meet with His Excellency George Washington. Much to Luzerne's surprise, the general himself arrived in the small vessel that was to take them the 25 miles down the river. Even more surprising, Washington was the one steering the boat. They soon departed, and as they sailed south with the tide, the sky darkened and the wind began to shriek out of the surrounding mountains. Even though the vessel heeled ominously in the gusts, Washington refused to surrender the helm to a more experienced mariner. The general held the tiller, the secretary to the French delegation recorded, and during a little squall which required skill and practice, proved to us that this work was no less known to him than our other bits of useful knowledge. George Washington, a commander-in-chief who otherwise seemed rooted to his horse, was also a sailor. He was born in Tidewater, Virginia, a flat, water-laced land between the Blue Ridge Mountains to the west and the Chesapeake Bay to the east. In the Tidewater, clear inland rivers blended with the turbid salt of the ocean as it ebbed and flowed along the marshy edges of the Chesapeake. On the Rappahannock River, where Washington grew up, just across from the town of Fredericksburg, the tide's 3-foot rise and fall was a daily reminder that even though he was more than 50 miles from the Chesapeake, he was connected to a distant and unseen sea. When he was 11 years old, his father died, leaving his mother, who had been his father's second wife, with 5 young children to raise. Making their lot all the harder was his father's decision to leave his most valuable properties on the Potomac River to the north to his sons from his first marriage, Lawrence and Augustine. With money tight, the young Washington was unable to attend the school in England to which his older half-brothers had been sent. Life in the fairly modest clapboard house on the Rappahannock, painted red to look like brick, offered few opportunities for an ambitious boy looking to make his mark on the world. And then, in 1746, when Washington was 14 years old, his elder half-brother offered him a way out. Lawrence Washington was 28 years old and a veteran of the Siege of Cartagena, an unsuccessful attempt by the British to take the Spanish port on the coast of what is today Colombia. Although the siege had been a disappointment for the British, Lawrence had received so many distinguished marks of patronage and favor from Vice Admiral Edward Vernon that he'd chosen to name the house he'd inherited from his father, Mount Vernon, in the Admiral's honor. Lawrence and his stepmother, Mary Ball Washington, had differing ideas as to where George's future lay. Mary insisted that her firstborn's place belonged with her on the Rappahannock, on what came to be known as Ferry Farm. Lawrence, on the other hand, determined that, like his idol Admiral Vernon, his brother was destined for the sea. A British naval vessel had arrived in the Chesapeake, and from Lawrence's perspective, a midshipman's appointment offered his younger brother not only the prospect of a promising and honorable career, but the chance to escape the possessive clutches of his widowed mother. What the 14-year-old Washington thought about all this is difficult to determine. Lawrence's father-in-law and neighbor William Fairfax, who delivered letters addressed to both George and his mother regarding Lawrence's proposal, reported that the boy says he will be steady and thankfully follow your advice. This hardly sounds like an enthusiastic response on George's part to the prospect of a naval career. And yet, remaining with his willful and self-centered mother, Washington's cousin later confessed he was 10 times more afraid of Mary than he was of his own parents, also had its drawbacks. After receiving Lawrence's offer, Mary allowed her son's plans to go to sea to reach the point that his baggage was prepared for embarkation. In a scene that remained indelibly seared into the young Washington's memory, his mother waited until the last possible moment before intervening. His mother interposed with her entreaties and tears so irresistibly, Washington's aide David Humphreys later recounted in an unfinished biography, as to cause the project to be laid aside. Otherwise, Humphreys surmised, instead of having led the armies of America to victory, it is not improbable he would have participated as an admiral of distinction in the naval triumphs of Britain.